Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I know we had scheduled a video at this point. We've had some technical issues, not sure what's going on, but we're going to have to skip that part in our service today, although I thought it was really good, and maybe I'll get another chance to show it later on. But I wanted to ask you a question today. Do you really understand the measure of God's forgiveness? You are truly blessed if you do. Today's message will simply be a review for you. But as you know, it never hurts to review. Some of us don't really have a clue or take this incredible gift for granted. So my prayer is to help all of us gain some true understanding of the great measure of God's forgiveness. I hope that we can grow in our faith and receive the benefits given to us as we take a deep plunge into the overflowing measure of God's forgiveness. May God the Father give me wisdom as we explore this great mystery. Every elementary school child used to be taught verse 31 in our text. If you were listening carefully, you heard something very familiar. You might not have been told where this passage was found or even who said it, but it is considered by many to be the greatest ethical teaching of Jesus, so that it was given the name the Golden Rule. Jesus said, "As you wish that other would do to you, do so to them." When I was in school, that verse was kind of flipped around. It began a little bit different, but it was the same meaning. It said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Maybe that's more familiar. Well, the kids on my block were a little bit rough, and they sort of adopted this motto, but it seemed to take on different meaning when they said it. They would say, "Do unto others before they do it to you." It came across to me more like the motto from Cobra Kai. Those of you who remember the movie The Karate Kid will be familiar with the Cobra Kai team, this group of thugs and their brutal sensei. Their motto was, "Strike first, strike hard, no mercy." In that context, "Do unto others before they do it to you" takes on a whole new meaning. But let's get back to Jesus' more life-enhancing meaning. Many people think of the Golden Rule as merely reciprocal, as if we act towards others based on how we want to be treated. But as you see in other parts of this passage of Scripture, Jesus actually downplays this focus on reciprocity, and in fact, he reverses it. Listen to the word of the Lord at the end of the section, verse 36. Jesus says, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." So the first idea I want you to consider is that Jesus' teaching is not that we are to deal mercifully toward other people so that it will be reciprocated, or that people will treat us mercifully in return. No, the basis for our merciful and forgiving actions towards others is not returned favor, but upon the fact that we are children of God. As His children, we are to follow or imitate His merciful and forgiving ways, come what may. In John 5:19, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of His own accord, but only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." That's our pattern. So again, don't treat others in the way you want them to treat you, but treat them well because you are a new creature in Christ. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are, by virtue of being baptized into Christ, God's beloved children. He is our Father. We follow His example. So now let's get back to the beginning of this passage where we dive into some pretty deep waters. Jesus begins this section off by saying, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand it back." I think I can hear your thinking. And I'm going to say what I think you're thinking. Okay, Jesus, I'm out. I can handle treating others in the hope that they're going to treat me well. But Jesus, you're asking me to do something that is impossible. Love people who have not made it, who have made it no secret that they want to destroy me, maybe kill me. Do good to people who absolutely hate my guts. Am I really to bless the very people who are cursing and swearing at me with vile words and gnashing teeth? And how can I pray for people who are abusing me sexually, emotionally, physically, mentally? A slap on the cheek is a physical assault and an insult on my character. Am I really supposed to offer the other side of my face? I'm sorry, but I just can't offer more of my hard-earned possessions to someone who's already stolen from me. And there's no way I'm going to give to everyone who begs for me. Have you seen all those people out on the streets? I'd be broke. And come on, isn't it my right to demand back what was taken from me? You're asking way too much. Now do you see that Jesus is asking of us much more than making a reciprocal transaction with those around us? I'll treat you like I want to be treated. Boy, does that have limits, at least from my perspective. So when I look at this passage as the high ethical teachings of Jesus, which it is, I'm always found wanting. And maybe you feel the same way. He is asking me and you to base our treatment of others not in the hope of good treatment in return, but on the basis of who we are as God's children. It shouldn't matter how the world treats us in Jesus' eyes. We imitate our Father as Jesus did. So if you take Jesus' words seriously, and we should, it will make you want to crawl into a dark closet and never come out. How could we ever attain that kind of goodness, that faithfulness to forgive whatever abuse is sent our direction? If this is the way through the narrow gate, I'll never get in. And I suspect you wouldn't either. But instead of looking at this passage just as a high ethical teaching of Jesus, I'd like you to put on your glasses that have a law and gospel lens. What I want you to see is that Jesus' golden rule has so much more to tell us about understanding the measure of God's forgiveness, and you'll never see it with a strict ethical lens. So please, bear with me, and let's keep looking. Take a look at the last two verses of our text for today. It's going to sound like law, but in reality, it's pure gospel. I hope you can hear this with your spiritual ears. Jesus continues, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For with the measure you use it, will be measured back to you." Now, if these verses were read in a strictly ethical way, law-based, performance-based, this is how it would have read. If you do not judge, then you will not be judged. If you do not condemn, then you will not be condemned. If you will forgive, then you will be forgiven. If you give, then it will be given to you. You can hear that these are conditional sentences. The blessing only comes when the condition of the command has been fulfilled. If you do the good I command, then good will come to you. But that's not what it says. And that's not what our gospel teaches us. The gospel teaches us that what we are incapable of performing because of our sinful nature, Jesus accomplishes it for us. Jesus faced unbelief on a daily basis. And yet he said in John 12:47, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." When Jesus hung from the cross, bloodied by the whips and piercings of evil men, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And even when his disciples held back for fear of giving away all their resources, Jesus took their 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he blessed them, and then he distributed them to the people. It was all they had. And they were not only fed, but satisfied. Over 5,000 people. When selfish pride and sin prevent us from living as God's children, Jesus didn't hold back from us. He gave us his all. His life was given to us like that vessel of wheat described in this passage, a good measure, pressed down to give more room, shaken together. And more was given, grace upon grace. And on the day of Pentecost, they were spiritual beggars, praying for what they didn't have, and that was spiritual power. He then delivered his Holy Spirit and imbued them with power that they had never known. Not just to the 12, but all who were baptized into Christ. The lesson is so much more than just ethical teachings. It is the description of our spiritual weakness and how Jesus came to give us the good news of the gospel. What we have been incapable of performing, God's Son perfectly lived every single day, fulfilling the highest ethical standards of God for us. Now, real quick, look back at the previous verses discussed. "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back." Isn't that exactly the way Christ treats us through his life and his suffering and death, his resurrection? He loves us even though our actions and words often show us taking the side of the enemy. He does good to us even when we despise him by prioritizing our lives with activities instead of worshiping him in the community of the body of Christ, the church, showing contempt for his gracious words of forgiveness. He blesses us, though we curse him in our hearts because our coveting hearts have not gotten what we deserve, even when it might be to our soul's detriment. He prays for us, even when we're guilty of abusing his beloved children and our brothers and sisters in Christ. He turns the cheek when we strike him with our own willful disobedience. And when we strip him by our denials of his divinity and worth, we leave him hanging naked on the cross. And yet, he gives us his robe of righteousness. When our fleshly resources are spent in wasteful undertakings, he gives to everyone who begs and provides for our daily bread. And with all that we have taken from him, namely those daily provisions, without even a word of thanksgiving, he does not demand a return. Oh, the measure of God's forgiveness. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, has been placed into our laps without our obedience. Imagine what God will give to us when we do what Jesus is doing. The measure of his forgiveness is overflowing. So the last verse that we encounter is pure bonus gospel. For with the measure you use all this forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love, it will be measured back to you. You see, God is not done blessing you. Let Jesus be your example in this high ethical calling. You have received God's salvation and the treasure of heaven because he did what he saw the Father doing. And when you use the treasure he has won for you and placed in your laps, it will come back to you with interest 30, 60, 100 times over through the lives you touch in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen.